Welcome to the Simple Church Podcast, where we're committed to helping you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. Let's get to today's message.
We're in a series called Step by Step, and I don't think I've ever done a series that is as clear as this one. We've had a vision statement for a while. The first part of it is reaching people far from God, and that's really important to us. The last half of it is teaching them to follow Jesus step by step. And like I said, I've never done a series that's been as very clear and as specific about what are the fundamentals, what are the most important things about somebody's experience within Christianity. What is it that are, what are the steps people can take towards God? And so that's what we've been answering in this series. We started Easter Sunday with step one is to have a relationship with God through Jesus, making him Lord of your life, being committed to saying, I'm going to follow you, knowing you're not going to do that perfectly. That's not the point. But that day by day, little by little, you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to transform you and make you more into the image of Christ. That's what it's all about. We're saying, Jesus, you're going to be Lord. And so that's step one. Step two we talked about last week was if you've said yes to Jesus, your very first step is to get baptized. And we had a baptism service after service, and we celebrated as a couple people took their step last week in baptism. If you have not gotten baptized yet, you can still do that. You can fill out the Connect card that's there in front of you. It's a paper card, or you can do it digitally, or stop by the Connect Center and let somebody know, I want to get baptized. We baptize people on the first Sunday of every month. So that was step two. And by the way, baptism's an important thing. It's something you need to do because it's for you. It's not about your salvation. Jesus and your faith in him and confessing him as Lord of your life is what makes you saved, is what brings you forgiveness, what brings you redemption, transforms your life, brings blessing in your life and healing. That's all found in Jesus. Baptism's for you. It's a step of obedience. It's you trusting God and saying, I may not fully understand what all this is about, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to do it. It's a ritual. And we've got lots of rituals in our lives, and we talked a lot about that last week. It's not like, you know, sacrificing a virgin kind of ritual. I don't mean like that, you know. I mean like we have lots of traditions and rituals in our life, and baptism is one of those very meaningful things that you can do. In fact, I just want to answer this, and I meant to say it last week. I've been baptized four times in my life, okay? Baptized as an eight-year-old when I confessed Jesus as Lord of my life. When I got into my 20s, I walked away from the Lord. And when I came back in 2010, I got baptized again because I needed it for me. I wanted to make a public confession. I'm back, Jesus. I'm here. I'm yours. And in 2010, I did that. And then I led a missions trip to El Salvador, and I fell in love with the people of El Salvador. And I said, I want to experience baptism like they do. I want you to baptize me in the lake. And then a bunch of people that are on the mission trip with me got baptized for the first time because I got baptized. It was cool. It was just, I just wanted to experience it. And then last year in Israel, I got to be baptized and baptize several folk in the Jordan River where they say Jesus was baptized. Now, come on, somebody. It wasn't about my salvation. It was about an experience. It's an encounter. And so it's very meaningful. You need to do it. You need to do it. You're never going to understand it until you do it. Amen, everybody? Amen. Yep, that's just true. And so that's step two. And today, I think I'm going to talk to you about, once you've done those, this is the most important one for you. And it's one of the most important things in your spiritual journey, because I think, really, we've got all these steps we can do, but across Scripture, we can see throughout that God intended four things for everybody, and it's for you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. But all of that starts with knowing him. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. How do you get to know God? Well, it's the same way you get to know anyone. How do you get to know anybody? You can watch them if you want to. You know, just kind of voyeuristically watch them. And you can study their interactions. You can learn their mannerisms. You can see all that if you watch them. You could stalk them on Facebook, creepers. You can learn about their hobbies. You can learn about their likes and their dislikes. You can learn their political standings. You could discover who they hang out with, where they go, what they like to eat, because good Lord, we post lots of things about our food that we're eating, don't we? Or you can hear stories about them. You could talk to somebody else who's interacted with them. And you can hear stories about how they've been in the past. But the best way to get to know somebody is to talk to them. Say, well, I don't like this conversation, Aaron. I'm just not liking where it's going. Talking to people is just not my thing. We need to have a conversation with somebody. You need to talk to them. We get this opportunity with God to converse with him. I looked up the definition of a conversation. It's a talk, especially an informal one, between two or more people in which news and ideas are exchanged. That's it. And we get to have a conversation with God, and there's two elements to that. There's parts where you're speaking, and there's parts where you're listening. So what does a conversation with God look like? What is that? How does that practically play out from a biblical standpoint? Okay, here's your answer. Prayer is when we talk to God. That's prayer. But reading the Bible is when God talks to us. Yes, I believe God can speak to you by his Spirit, and I believe God's going to speak to you today as I'm speaking to you as well. But if you want to have a daily conversation, just you and God, you need to get into the Bible or God's Word. If you want to be on the listening part of the conversation with God, you need to get into his Word and have it more often in your life. That's how you get to know him. And so my goal today is to help you remove some of the excuses, understand why it's important, and to get into more of God's word in your life so that you can know him better. I think that's the most important thing. So let's start right here. And this is a verse that I used a couple weeks ago in talking about Jesus and who he was. But we're going to go back to John 1:1. And it says this, in the beginning was the word. Now it's capitalized. See that word, word? Word. It's capitalized. That's a proper name. It's like a nickname. Might as well have said Jesus, but in this case, they used the word, word. He said, in the beginning was the word, or Jesus, and the word Jesus was with God, and the word Jesus was God. That God's word has been around since the beginning. Who God is, his expression of himself, has been around since the beginning. Before the Bible and before the printed page, the Bible was God, his word. And it existed since the beginning of our time. So if you want to know God, you need to know your Bible. You say, Aaron, yeah, but the Bible is hard to understand. And you know what? God gets that. God understood that. All of humanity, for all of time, has had a difficulty understanding and applying and walking out what God has intended for him. He understood that struggle. That's why he sent Jesus. In John 1:14, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In other words, God's word that had been there from the beginning, that had existed, God said, I'm going to show you how to do this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son, and he's going to be fully God, but yet fully man, and he's going to walk out what I intended for you all along so that you can see it on display. You got no questions anymore. And it says that he became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, that's wonderful. That's not a God who's just shouting instructions from far off in the heavens. He said, you know what? I'm going to show you how to live this out. I'm going to come and live among you. And Jesus walked this earth for 30 years before he even began his ministry, which lasted 3 years. 33 years he walked this earth and showed us how to live a life according to God's word. And Jesus said this. In John 6, he said, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. In other words, what's going to bring you alive, that thing that you're looking for, that thing that's missing in your life, that only comes from the Spirit. He said, human effort accomplishes nothing. That's why you can do everything the world is doing and still be unsatisfied. You need something supernatural, something beyond you. You need something spiritual. And he said, in the very words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, this word that he used, spirit, comes from the Greek word, because remember, your Bible's translated. It is written Old Testaments in Hebrew, New Testaments in Greek, and some Aramaic, primarily in Greek. And this word spirit is the word pneuma. And the translators, they have a choice when they're translating into our language to help us understand it. But pneuma means breath and the power to do what they just said. In other words, as Jesus is speaking, every word that he says has life and power in it to accomplish whatever he's saying. So that doesn't make any sense to me. What I'm trying to say, there's power and life in his words. The author in Hebrews said it this way, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit. And watch this. He uses a biological reference here, joints. In other words, it gets in between the bones, like in the little cracks and the crevices in your body. And the marrow. Marrow is what's at the center of the bones. It's the core of your structure. He said, it'll get all in you. It is powerful and it's alive. It's active. When you're reading it, it's doing something in you. When you engage in God's word, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, the Bible's alive. It's not just a historical book. It's not just a good book full of good stories about a good man. It's alive. It's powerful, and that power is available to you to transform every area of your life. It's for you. So reading the Bible isn't just about knowledge transfer. It's not just about you getting some information. It's about life transformation. And it's about the power that is contained in those words to do what it says. That's why we gotta be reading our Bibles. It's important. I remember when I first learned this, the very first time the Bible came alive to me, I was a young man, and it was my habit to come home from school and to get into my scriptures and just spend some time with the Lord. And I remember one day something just, woo, it just hit me. And I come thumping up the stairs. I said, Mom, do you know what I just read in my Bible? And I shared it with her, and I said, did you know this was in there? And she goes, yeah. My mom, who'd, you know, been saved all her life, right? Like, she's like, yeah. And I'm just like, why are you not losing your mind? Like, I'm losing my mind. Like, this is good stuff. And she's like, I know, Aaron. She's like, just hugs me, you know, like. I want that for you. I want this thing to come alive for you. I want it to matter for you. I want that excitement. You say, well, Aaron, I've tried. The Bible's complicated. I get that. Some of it's mundane. And some of you even say, I've read the Bible and I just don't get anything out of it. I'm going to help you with that today, and it's my great joy to do that. I'm going to give you two things that are going to help you. I'm going to give you a little bit of teaching on theology, on how to make it come alive, and then I'm going to give you some practical steps to go do it. So here's the first thing you need to do to make the Bible come alive, and what you need so that you can get to know God on a personal level, because this is an important one. You've said yes to Jesus. You've made a commitment through baptism to follow him. Now you need to get to know God so you can do it. And the first thing you need to have and know is that faith activates God's word. Faith activates God's word. Now, when I say that word, faith, I think we conjure up a lot of different ideas of what that means. Some of you know somebody named Faith, and you're like, that's what you're thinking about. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is belief, or better put, trust. Trust that leads to you aligning with it. It's not just words saying, I trust you. It's trust that is expressed through life that is changed. That's what it is. That's what faith is. And when you trust what God's word says, it changes everything in your life. It changes everything. Without faith or without trust, God's word can't do anything in your life. Look at what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4. He says, for we've heard the good news. Now, the good news is another word for the gospel or the message about Jesus. We've heard it just as they did. So there's two groups here they're pointing to, us and them. He said, they heard the message, but it did them no good. Why? Glad you asked. Because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. They didn't trust it. And some of you, that's your story. You understand that. You can relate to that. Yeah, I've read the Bible before, but you know, it didn't really do anything to me. It didn't really change me. It didn't really challenge me. It didn't really grow me. It didn't work. Well, some of you are like, I come to church too. Nothing's changing. Nothing's working. Well, you got to mix it with something. You got to mix it with faith. You got to have faith, faith, faith. Can't just read your Bible, at least not without faith. You have to have it. And I understand some of you are pushing back right now because as soon as I said the word trust, some of you are struggling with that. Oh, Pastor Aaron, you don't understand. I struggle to trust people. So if trust is what's required, I'm just out. No, let me tell you something. You don't struggle to trust people. You trust people all the time. Have you ever got on a plane? You trust the people that manufactured that plane. You trust the people that maintenance that plane. You trust the pilot that's flying that plane to get you from destination A to destination B. You trust people. Many of you got here in a car today. Some of you didn't even drive it. You were just in the passenger seat. You trust the people that made it. You trust the people that maintenance it. You're trusting the person that's driving it. Oh, and you're trusting everybody else out on the road to be alert and sober so that you don't die on your way to your destination. Amen. You trust? Some of you, many of us, all of us, we eat at a restaurant. You don't know the people that grew the plants or raised the cattle. You don't know the people that slaughtered it or manufactured it and made it into the delicious product that you love. You don't know the people that shipped it. You don't know the chef that cooked it. You don't know the server that served it to you, yet you trust all those people. You don't have a problem trusting people. Come on. Uh-oh. Come on. You take your kid to school. You trust the principal. You trust the teachers. You trust the workers to all keep your kids safe. You trust people all the time. You elect politicians. You trust, well, no, just kidding. Nobody trusts them. But you trust plenty of things. Now, trust is not your issue. What your issue is you want to say, well, I have a hard time trusting people because you know as well as I do that trust is a choice and you just don't want to trust because trust means some things for you. So let's be honest about where we're at. You don't have a problem trusting. You say, well, Aaron, how can I trust this book? Well, let me tell you a few things about this book and why you should consider it to be God's word. First of all, it's not a book. It's 66 books in one. These 66 books have 40 different authors that were written over a period of 1,500 years without a contradiction. And many of these people, they didn't know each other. How do you get a book like that? That in and of itself is something to consider. Something else about this book, there's never been a book like this in history. It's historically accurate. Archaeologists for years have used the Bible that talks about people and places that they thought didn't exist, but they went to the Bible and said, well, this is where the Bible says it is. They started digging, and guess what they found? Kings and peoples and cities that, nah, they didn't exist, but the Bible said they did, and they found them. It's accurate. The people of the Bible are real, and they wrote down what they saw. And then what about the promises that are in there? The promises in the Bible say that God's going to show up, and he's going to fellowship with us. He's going to walk among us. And a lot of religions promise that. But God actually did. He sent his son Jesus to walk among us. And Jesus not only walked among us, when he came, God said, I'm going to prove that I'm outside of time. I'm not bound by the same thing you all are. So over this time period here before Jesus shows up, there were 300 prophecies about him that Jesus fulfilled all of in his life. People that never knew him, that were thousands of years removed from him, 250 years back to 1,000 years. There's over 300 prophecies. They prophesied about how he would be born of a virgin. They prophesied about how he would die on a cross, which, by the way, crucifixion didn't come along, wasn't invented until the Roman Empire. They prophesied how he would be pierced with nails, how a bone in his body wouldn't be broken, and so much more. This is not a mere book. This is an important book. It's something to consider. And Jesus, when he lived his life, he was crucified, he dies, he rose again. Hundreds of people saw him alive. And those hundreds of people, many of them were killed, went to their death testifying that Jesus was alive with nothing to gain. Why in the world would you profess that you saw a dead man alive all just to go to your death? No, they must have saw something. They must have experienced something that was real. So I'm challenging you to consider this and to approach this, that it is God's word. It is not just an ordinary book. And you can choose to trust God's word. Faith activates God's word. The second thing you need to know is revelation activates faith. Revelation activates faith. You want faith to come alive when you're reading the Bible? You need a revelation. You need this aha moment where things begin to make sense. Some of you have said this before, that I've read this verse 1,000 times, but today it made a difference in this situation to me. It came alive. It became real to you, and that can happen. That's revelation. Revelation activates your faith to believe the word. Now, in your Bible, there are two words used for the word in the Greek. The first one is the word logos. It means the written word. Means something, we can all read it, and we can understand what we're reading, like from a place, like we can read it, we can hear the words, but we don't necessarily apply it, we don't necessarily allow it to work in us, we get it. But then there's a rhema, which is another word for word, and rhema means revealed. Rhema word is when it clicks, when everything changes, when faith begins to be activated in your life and it begins to take work. There's a great story of a rhema revelation, a rhema word happening. And it's the story of Jesus' mother, Mary. An angel appeared to Mary and said, hey, you're going to have the Messiah, which they had prophecies about that would come. Everybody was looking for the Messiah. They knew it was going to be born of a virgin. And this angel shows up to Mary and says, hey, you're it. Tag. It's you. And first of all, Mary does exactly what all of us do when we're grappling with God's word, something that is said to us, that he gives to us. Mary responds to him, how will this be since I'm a virgin? She thinks logically about it. That's the logos. She wasn't getting it. But Mary didn't stop there. A lot of us, we stop there. We read something supernatural in the Bible. We read something that's beyond our understanding, beyond our experience, something that is godlike. And we read that and go, how can that be? How is that possible? That's not real. That's not real life. But Mary didn't stop like we do. She leans in. She asks questions. She searches more. She considers it. And it says that she said to the angel, "How can this be?" And the angel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And he talks about Elizabeth there, but down to verse 37, he says, "For no word from God will ever fail." And that word that he uses there is the word rhema. No rhema, no revealed word from God will ever fail. And suddenly, it clicks for Mary. She gets a revelation. She leans in and she chooses to trust it. And she says, "Okay, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And it says, then the angel left her. And from that moment on, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she was pregnant. Something came alive in her. Something changed. She got a rhema. She got a revelation of that word, of what God was saying to her. And that is what we've got to get. We've got to get that aha moment, that moment where faith takes over our being and we trust God with all of our hearts. No revealed word from God will ever fail. So faith activates God's word and revelation activates faith. So how do you get revelation? Same way Mary did. Same way Mary did. Glad you asked. Meditation is what activates revelation. Some of you guys are just a little dabble, do you? You're here on Sundays and you walk out. You don't ever think about what I just said. You're not taking notes, so you don't look back on it. You don't talk about it with your spouse or with your friend. You don't share the message with anybody and go, "Hey, what do you think of this? What does this mean to you?" You're not doing that. You're not involved in a grow group, so you're not talking to anybody at a grow group about it. You never even consider. You get a little dabble, do you? Check, I went to church. I heard a message. I shook the pastor's hand, told him it was good, and I'm out. You never come back to it. But Mary didn't just stop there. She had her doubts, and she didn't let her doubts keep her. She questioned, she considered, she thought about it, and bam, she's pregnant. You say, that's all it takes to get pregnant? I don't want this Bible stuff. All right, maybe just be pregnant with a miracle, okay? Pregnant with faith. But the point is, that's what we need. And then Joshua, back in the Old Testament, Joshua's instructing the people, and he says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. I mean, talk about it. Talk about it. And then he says, meditate on it day and night. So all day long, just be thinking about it. Bring it back up. Think about it, talk about it, pray about it, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Watch this. This is an if-then statement. If you'll do that, then you'll be prosperous and successful. So what does the word meditate mean? What does that mean? Well, it comes from the word picture of a cow chewing its cud. If you don't know what that is, let me tell you what that is. A cow has nothing better to do than to stand around all day long and work on becoming steak, okay? And so it eats a lot of grass and hay, and it chews it and it swallows it, and then a cow vomits it back up in its mouth. And then it chews it again, getting some more nutrients out of it. And then they swallow it again, and then they burp it back up, and they chew it some more, getting some more nutrients out of it. This is the idea of meditation. Cow chewing its cud. Chew on it. Get everything out of it. Look at it from a lot of different angles. Ask the Holy Spirit for revelation. Talk to your spouse. Talk to a friend. Maybe Google it. See what other pastors have to say about it. Like, lean into it. Lean into it. Meditate on it. And if you'll do that, the word says, then you'll be prosperous and successful. I want that for me. And as your pastor, I want that for you. I want you to have a prosperous and successful year. I want you to have a prosperous and successful career. I want the ministry that God has for you to be prosperous and successful, because all of you have a ministry to do. I want you to be prosperous and successful in your child rearing and in your parenting. I want your marriage to not just be surviving, but thriving. I want that for you. I want your relationships to be strong and healthy. I want your mental health and your physical health in good condition. I want your finances to be stewarded well so that you're growing in your generosity. I want all these things for you, but it's connected to you meditating on God's word. And if you want it, you can have it. It's available to you. But you have to have a life that is built on knowing God through his word. You just have to. You need to know God. Why? Jesus said this in Matthew 7, and this is a paraphrase of this verse, and I really like it. It means a pastor wrote this in his own words, all right? And it's the Message translation. It says these, or paraphrase, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. These are not sconces and art pictures that you're putting on your wall. No, he says they are foundational words, words to build a life on. And if you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house because it was built, it was fixed to the rock. And the rock that he's talking about is God's word. It's the foundation of his life. If you want that, you can have that. So how do we build that foundation? Three quick things. The first thing you got to do is accept its authority. This is the practical part of it. You got to accept its authority. You have to approach God's word as it is, supreme, that it's God's word. A lot of us, we have God's word on a list of authority in our lives, but it's not the number one authority. That's like number five after The View and after TikTok and after our politicians and our political parties. Or us. We are our own gods oftentimes. Or sex, or drugs, or whatever. God's authority is there, but it's just not supreme. It's not number one. It's not the thing that guides all of our lives. But you say, you know what? I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can do that because I don't view God's word that way. I view it as a good book. I view it as a good story. But God's word is inerrant. It means it's perfect. There's you can trust it is what I'm trying to tell you. You say, well, how can I trust it if I don't understand it? Let me just go here for you. You trust a lot of things you don't understand. Mm-hmm. And you accept them. I don't know how a car engine works, but I drive one. I don't know. I don't understand how women work, but I love one and I'm married to one. I don't understand how debit cards work, but I use one. I don't understand how the internet works, but it's incorporated into every part of my life. I don't understand these things, but I've accepted them. There's plenty you don't understand that you accept. And if understanding is something you want on the front side, then I'm not sure how successful this spiritual journey is going to be, because for you to understand makes you equal with God, and you're not. Amen. You're not. You're not. There's things that you can accept and things that you can trust that are beyond your understanding. Besides that, the Bible says that you'll get understanding after you obey, after you trust, after you follow. God is a taste and see kind of God. You're never gonna know how good it is until you try it yourself, until you apply it to your life. And so understanding God's ways comes with accepting them as supreme first. It's supreme. 1 Thessalonians tells us this, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. Now that word accepted, again, here's the Greek word for it, it's dekomai. Dekomai means to accept a stranger in your home. In other words, you accepted it without understanding it. You didn't know much about it. It was strange to you, but you were like, yeah, I'm gonna accept this and invite it into my home. He says, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God. And watch this, because they accepted it, it's indeed at work in you who believe. When you accept it as supreme, as the word of God, that's when it begins to work in you. This is the first step. So you can accept it without fully understanding all of it, and you can make it supreme, and it'll be at work in you. Second thing you gotta do is you gotta live out its truths. This is a simple word we call assimilation. Assimilation sounds very robotic, must assimilate, but that's not what it's all about. Assimilation just means to become like something. And as Christ followers, that's our job, is to walk closer to Jesus, become more like him every day. We have an assimilation process here. We call it Growth Track. You can learn who we are and what we're doing here and how to be a part, how to assimilate. What are our values? What are we doing here? You can do that. Growth Track happens every Sunday, first, second, third, and fourth Sundays of the month, right after service. But here's the thing. In order to assimilate, we've got to begin to work God's word into every area of our life, into our marriages, our finances, our relationships, on the goes. We've got to do it. Can't just be a Sunday thing. Can't just be a quiet time thing. It has to be an everything. Because remember, if you want what the world's getting, you can do things the world's way and you'll have what the world has. Or if you want what God has, you got to do things his way. You want something different, you got to be different. So we got to live out its truths. Well, how do you know its truths? By listening to God's word. That's how you can know it. So you can listen, first of all. And you need to read it, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but you also need to hear it. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir today, because good job, everybody. You're here listening to God's word. Good job. But you need to prioritize being in spaces where you can hear it. I don't care if that means you're not here at this church, if this church isn't for you, be in a church somewhere where you can hear God's word spoken. Because I'm not trying to build this church, I'm trying to build you. You are the church. I'm trying to build you. And I want you to know God, which is the best way to build you. So get church on your schedule. Get it. Some of you don't make this a priority. It's not on your schedule. Saturday night, you're like, what are we doing tomorrow? Listen, how about this? Saturday night is, what are we doing after church tomorrow? That needs to be the phrase. It's a priority to you. That doesn't mean you can't miss every now and then for vacations and I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, if it's not a priority to you, if it's not what you're doing every Sunday, change that. Why is it important? Because faith is what you need to make God's word come alive in your life. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by, everybody say it,
hearing.
Uh-huh. Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So don't miss Sundays. When I miss a Sunday here, guess what I do? I go to church somewhere locally, wherever I'm at, or I tune in and I listen to the pastor preaching. I'm listening to preaching all throughout the week. I need that. I understand my job makes that important to me and maybe not so much important to you to be listening to preaching every day, but I do. I'm listening to God. I'm leaning in because hearing it builds me up. It adds faith to my life. So don't miss Sundays. And when you come, Jesus said, when you come and listen, Jesus said this about the way people were listening in Luke 8, verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. That's important. What does he mean? He means, hey, how are you listening right now? Are you listening and playing on your phone at the same time? Are you listening and taking notes as if this is real, that it's God's word, that it's important, that it's something that you need to look back on, that you need to meditate about, that you need to pray about? Are you taking it serious? Are you considering how you're listening? Are you leaning in? Are you truly here to experience God's word and to let it transform your life? How are you listening to it? You need faith. And if you want God's word to work in your life, you need faith. So listen. Here's a second way to know God's truth. You need to read his word. It has everything you need in it. You say, Aaron, that's an awfully big book. Yeah, it is. With a lot of small words on a lot of pages that are very thin. There's thousands of them in there. How do you get through it? Same way you eat an elephant. Bite at a time. A little bit every day. Do it. Read a little bit every day. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. So that's your daily sustenance. That's not what's going to be your life. Oh, you'll stay alive, but what kind of life will you have if you're just eating bread? Man's not supposed to live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Oh, gotcha. So here's some super practical stuff. Here's how we do it. Get a paper Bible. Here's my recommendation. This is just me telling you. You say, Pastor Aaron, I got a digital Bible. Yeah, great. I love that you've got the YouVersion Bible or some other Bible app on your phone, but I'm going to tell you, get a paper Bible. There are studies that say that when you hold a book in your hand, it does something to you. It connects you to it. It makes a connection to what you're reading, what you're underlining, what you're writing notes in your Bible. Get a paper Bible that's your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we've got them over here for free. If you want a nicer Bible that's leather-bound, you're going to have to buy that. And let me tell you something. You can get those off of Amazon if you want, or if that's not your vibe, you can get them anywhere. But I'll tell you the best place to get them, the thrift store. They have very expensive Bibles for $2. Some Bibles can be $70 and $100, and you can find them nice Bibles at a thrift store. There's one right down the street here. I go there all the time. I just scoop up the good books. You can get, so there's no excuses here. And if you need the $2 to buy a Bible, you let me know and I'll give you $2. I'll go with you and buy you a $2 Bible, all right? But get you a Bible. It's important. This week I was reading some passages and following my reading plan. And I came across something that I had read before and I'd underlined and I'd written some notes in it. And wouldn't you know it, reading that day reminded me of God's faithfulness and reminded me of something that spoke to me a year, maybe 2 years ago. And I took a screenshot of it because I'm going through something right now and I sent it to my wife and it was just an encouragement to both of us. This is why you need to have a paper Bible. You need to be reminded of what God is speaking to you and what he said to you, because sometimes he'll say something to you 2 years ago so that when you read it today, it makes a difference in your life and it's right on time. You can't do that if you don't have a paper Bible. You can't do that if you don't have your Bible. you need to have a Bible. So get one. Go get them for free. Don't make excuses. Just get one. And here's the thing. I don't mean to scare you. I would to God that I could scare you into this, but I'm not trying to scare you. But it's not if, it's when the digital world goes offline and Bibles get banned, you need to have a paper Bible. You can rely on Google all you want to and all these digital sources, but as soon as that sucker's outlawed, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when they take them off the shelves? You need to have your own paper Bible. All right, don't mean to be so heavy. Let me bring it back up. Set aside time. I get up in the morning. I let the dogs out. I've got a routine, and I let them out. I feed them, and then I sit down, and I feed myself. I make my breakfast, and I sit there with my Bible, and I drink my coffee or my energy drink or whatever I'm going to do, and I read my Bible. Get a time. For most of us, what all of our relationships lack is intentionality, and there's nothing different in our relationship with God. You need some intentional time. Set aside. Do it every day. Set aside time. We call it the first 15 here, where you set aside 15 minutes. I heard a beautiful story from a guy here at our church. He's like, man, I get ready. I go to work, and I get to work early, and I sit in my car, and I do my first 15 in the car. I love that. He's prioritized. He's found a time because he's got kids, and it's probably not a quiet place in the house to do that, right? He's figured it out, and I love that. But do it. Set aside a time. Used to be my wife worked third shift, and she'd get off at 6:30 in the morning. That was my Jesus time. And she'd call me every morning at 6:30 in the morning on her way home. And one day I just said, babe, do you like me better with Jesus or without Jesus? And she's like, oh, I like you better when you're with Jesus. I said, this is my Jesus time. If you really need to call me every day at 6:30, I'll get up even earlier in the morning to have time with Jesus so I can take your call. But this is my Jesus time, so tell me what you need from me. And she's like, nope, bye. And she stopped calling me on her way home, unless she needed something, you know. But it was just to decompress from the day and for us to connect. But that was my Jesus time. Prioritize it. It's a non-negotiable. Don't let anything impede on that time. No, thank you. It's important. Have a set-aside time that you draw away to tune into God's word. Get into God's word faithfully each day, just a little bit. Just a little bit. It'll change your week. It'll change your day. Just try it. Taste and see. And then I'll tell you to have a plan. A lot of us, we approach our Bibles and we just flip it open and say, God, give me something today. And sometimes that works. I've done that. Where I'm like, God, I need something today. I don't know what I need. And I'll flip open my Bible, and he's always faithful that way. But remember that word intentionality? Have a plan. Have a plan for how you're going to eat the elephant. Plan. Get a Bible plan. Right now, if you get on our Simple Church app and go underneath the events, there's a tab that says, read your Bible. And many of us are reading through using the Bible recap plan. It's reading through the Bible in a year, and it goes chronologically. So historians have laid it out because your Bible's not organized chronologically. You can't read it from the beginning to end and get the story right. I mean, Genesis is the beginning and Revelation is the end, truly, but the rest of it's not laid out like that. So you can read a chronological plan with us. We're on day 105, which, by the way, my Bible recappers, we're a third of the way through. And so I read this plan also comes along with a daily podcast where the lady gets on there and explains the context, gives history, helps you understand the Bible. Oh, I love that. It's 5 or 7 minutes long, and I listen to that every day. Read my scriptures, listen to her talk about it, pray for it, pray through it. It's important, but there's plenty of plans out there. Get a plan that works for you and stick to it. And if you miss a day, don't stress about catching up. I know everybody, you've got all these boxes you want to check. I know you because I am you. Don't stress about a day that you miss. I don't anymore. If I miss it, I don't go back and try to read those days that I missed in order to catch up. I just know I'm going to reread it again next year, and I'll catch it next year. Come on. Be free. Here's the next thing. Don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. And I know I got to wrap up real quick, so I'm trying to go quickly here. When you approach God's word, approach it humbly, like a student. And I pray when I open the word. Holy Spirit, speak to me. See, the Holy Spirit's a partner to you. He's a helper to you. He's supposed to come alongside you, teach you, comfort you, guide you, convict you, instruct you in all kinds of ways, give you everything you need. Many of us don't even engage with the Spirit, but if you said yes to Jesus, the Bible says the Spirit dwells on the inside of you. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. Holy Spirit, help me know God today. Holy Spirit, help me love this word today. Help me fall more and more in love with God's word. Teach me. Give me one verse today. Challenge me. Speak to me from it. Encourage me, instruct me, give me whatever I need. And something I promise you that you've read over and over again, many times before, will come alive. I've been reading the Bible and I've read it through so many times, dozens of times at this point. And I've read these words in lots of different translations, and God still shows me something new all the time. I saw something new this past week that was just really, really powerful. You know, I went through a situation here recently and I had this guy I didn't even know become an enemy to me. I don't have a lot of enemies in my life, but you all know when somebody becomes an enemy, right? Like you think about them. Like you just, all you think about is revenge. You wake up in the morning just plotting it. Come on. Don't think less of me. I'm human too. And I had this, I don't even know this guy. He was very aggressive and it got my goat good. And I've dreamed up ways of how I could just blast him on TikTok and just cost him his life and blah, 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 blah. Cancel culture. We're going to do this. And I said, Lord, your word says to pray for my enemies. I'll pray for him. I'll pray that he gets such an itch he can't scratch it, like right there in the middle of his back. Torture him, Lord Jesus. And then my fleshly side goes to the verses in the Bible that says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And I'm like, all right, God, you're a just God. Go ahead and mete out justice. And he's like, is that what you want me to do for you? I was like, no, thanks. So I'm not going to pray that. And then I was like, you know what? I just want to pray something painful for him, God. And I started thinking, this is just me processing. And I said, you know what? One of the most painful things that I've ever experienced is the pain of conviction, where you learn how you're behaving, how you're acting is hurting others. And that the reason you're hurting them is because you yourself are broken and you have a need in your life for God to work in you. And I said, ooh, I could pray that, but God, I'm not trying to pray pain for him. I don't think you'd honor that. And he said, Aaron, what does my word say? And I said, huh? I said, I'm supposed to pray something good for him. He said, but what does my word say about my goodness? I said, oh, it's your goodness that leads us to repentance. And so I got really free and I started praying for this guy. I said, God, I pray that you would convict his heart. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would begin speaking with him and deal with him. I pray, God, that you would lead him into repentance. And I pray the greatest thing you could ever pray for anyone, including your enemies. God, I pray that he comes to know you. Because let me tell you something, repentance will lead to a life changed and transformed. And that just set me free. And you know what? I haven't thought about killing that guy once since then. It's a true story. We've got to approach this like it's real because it is. It's made a difference in my life just this week. So if we want to get to know God's truths and live it out, we've got to listen to his word, we got to read his word, and then we got to explore his word. And it's my great joy, and I'm running out of time today to teach you how to read the Bible. If you want to read the Bible, get a connection card, put your information on it, put the word Bible on there. I'll get that connect card. I'll connect with you. I'll personally walk you through how to read the Bible and how to do this and how to explore God's word. If we get a bunch of us, maybe we'll get a group together. I don't know, but just respond. Let's see what happens. I promise you, we'll do it one-on-one or we'll do it in a group. I'll teach you. It's so easy. It's so easy. But the best way to explore your Bible is to get into a grow group. Now, grow groups, the season is winding down, but June is the launch of our next season. We need leaders for that group, and we need you to plan on getting in a group. Talking about the Bible and discussing with other people is the greatest way to explore the Bible. It's with others. So get into a group whenever it's time. Lead a group, please. We need people to lead groups so that you can see the miracle of this verse happen. Psalm 119 that says, I've hidden your word in my heart so I won't sin against you. So if you've got something that you've just hung up on, maybe an attitude or a sin issue that keeps coming up in your life, you want to be free from that thing, you need to get God's word in your heart. Let it be your foundation. Get into a group where you're discussing, where you're learning, where you're growing, and you find accountability. It's important. And put all these disciplines together. So listen to God's word, read it, and explore it, and it'll challenge you, and it'll lead you to success and prosperity in every arena of your life. Doesn't mean that your life will be perfect. It just means that you'll be growing. So as you get to know how to live out God's word, it's time that last thing here is to apply its principles. This is it. I'm done. Apply its principles. Got to do what it says. Can't just hear it. You got to do it. James 1:22 says, don't just listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So when you're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal stuff to you, whatever he reveals to you, just do it. Pray it over. Talk to somebody you're in accountability with. Hey, this is how I'm growing. This is what God's going to do in me. Let him work in you. Do it. Apply it to your life. The way that God's word has changed my life, it can change yours too. It's for you. God's word has power in it to do what it says. I want this book to come alive for you. I want you to love it. Then if you'll love it, if you'll learn it, if you'll live it, everything will change. Everything changes when you begin to know God through his word. Let's pray. Well, Father, I've given it my all. I've given it what you asked me to give it today. And here's my prayer for every person in this room, every person watching online, everybody listening through the podcast, whether today or whenever they tune into this. My prayer is that you would give them a love and a passion for your word. My prayer is that they would approach your word with humility, knowing that you're beyond us, and that what you have for us is better than anything we can imagine. Help us to get into it. Help us to grow in it as we read it, as we listen to it, and as we apply it to our lives. Be with us, God, as we do that. Now, there's those of us in this room, as we continue this prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to say to you one thing. This is your moment to say yes to Jesus. You can have a relationship with God no matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, what your background is, what skin color you are, what nationality you are, what political alignment you have. It does not matter to Jesus. Anyone can be saved if you put your faith in him. Anyone can know God and have his spirit fill you. Anyone can begin a life with God. You can have it all. You can have it, but it begins with making Jesus Lord of your life, choosing to trust. And this is the moment. If you'd like to do that, I'm going to pray a prayer. In fact, if you're going to do that, would you just shoot your hand up and say, Aaron, that's me today. I'm saying yes. I'm doing it. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. See your hands. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Appreciate your honesty. Everybody, let's pray together. There's people saying yes to Jesus today. Everybody out loud say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. Fill me with your spirit. Show me how to live for you and help me know God. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, heaven's having a party. Simple Church, celebrate with people who said yes to Jesus today.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. We hope it has given you hope and helped you know God a little bit more. The goal of this podcast is to reach beyond our walls and connect with people far from God. If you'd like to join us in doing that, there are several ways for you to get involved. First, you can pray for us as a church. Prayer is our first response and our greatest resource. Pray for opportunities that we can boldly step into, make a difference in our community and around the world as we proclaim the good news of Jesus. Second, share this episode on your social media accounts and directly with your friends. It's easy to do through whatever platform you're currently using to listen to this message. Just click share and follow the prompts. Finally, you can support the mission through your generosity. The best part about this is that it's also an act of worship, where you express the priority of your love for God and others through your finances. Links to give are in the show notes, or simply visit www.mysimple.church/giving. We are so thankful you joined us today and hope you'll consider joining the mission of our church in some way. Thank you again, and we'll see you at next week's episode.